Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. And as we do every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. TD, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Yeah, good morning. How are you guys?
We're great. Appreciate you making time to be with us. So TD, we'll start on the Treylon Burks front. What has stood out to you with Treylon Burks through the first couple of days? And obviously he was turning a lot of heads in day one. How big a deal was that for the Titans to see him play the way that he did on day one of camp?
Yeah, you know, I think it was huge for him to come out and have the showing like that. And it wasn't so much the plays that he made to me. It was just seeing him run back to the huddle after a play, you know, even when he ran a long route, you know, running back to the huddle, seeing him run down the field and try to dig out a safety and run down the field with the running back as the running back finishes off his run. Those things tell me that the conditioning is right. And even watching him throughout the drills, there were no signs of laboring or anything like that. He actually looked strong in the drills. And then obviously the catches that he made were really good ones. So I think that was a great sign for them. The back shoulder throw showed a great amount of timing and some chemistry already with Ryan Tannehill, because he threw it before Burks even made his break, even got into his break, and he was able to whip his head around and, you know, catch that ball. And it was a good showing for him on day one.
Yeah, I agree. And on that play, it's that timing and everything that went into it had to be good, because Caleb Farley was right there. And I thought, yep, I thought I saw him a few times look fast. I thought more fluid, definitely stronger. What do you think of him here in the early going?
Farley?
Yeah, Farley.
Yeah, I think it was good to see him out there. He looked faster, stronger. He's not 100%, but still to be out there without the knee brace on, he has said that that's something that he had off for a while, but he was just wearing it during minicamp, you know, just for a little bit of support. And it's a positive sign to see him out there. And his length is there too, right? And that's something that, you know, he brings to the table along with the closing speed and the long speed that he has. So I thought he looked pretty good.
TD, how has Robert Woods looked from your vantage point thus far? And him and Farley both not being on PUP to begin camp, how big a deal is that for the Titans in your mind?
Yeah, that's a huge win to have neither of those guys on PUP or even in yellow jerseys or with the braces on, because Robert Woods didn't have his on either. And it's interesting, you know, watching him out there plant on that knee and cut, it's smooth, it's efficient. Now, it's not as explosive as you would probably expect from a guy who's known for running tremendous routes, but it's a good start, and there's time to still continue to work through that. So I thought he's looked good. He hasn't really, you know, made any plays, so to speak. And obviously yesterday was kind of like a throttled down focus on technique practice. But day one, you know, they were out there going. And just to see him out there running routes was a good thing.
Do you think, TD, that we're going to see actual, you know, like intense competitions at the two offensive line spots that are open right now? Or do you think that, would you consider Dylan Radins, and I know each one is different, but Dylan Radins and Aaron Brewer as guys with, you know, decent sized leads at this point?
I think they have somewhat of a lead. There will be a competition. I mean, that's something they want at all positions. But right now it seems like those are the guys who are, you know, the front runners for the position. And we'll really see during padded practices, and especially the joint practices, and obviously the preseason games, those will be the opportunities to really see who's going to separate themselves.
Teron Davenport on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And TD, we just had Ola Adeniyi on a few minutes ago, and that guy is full of energy. He's awesome.
Yeah.
But I'm curious for your thoughts on outside linebacker, specifically with the rotation. You know, Adeniyi, Rashad Weaver, how intriguing is that part of it to you? And if those two guys work out, especially, you know, Weaver coming back from the injury, how dangerous can that rotation be for the Titans this year?
Yeah, I think it would be very dangerous. And the thing I like about all of those guys is the versatility, whereas you could put them down in the dirt and they could do things that way, or they could stand up. And Ola, he really surprised me last year. In fact, I really caught on to him watching him in practice early in camp where he was smoking Dylan Radins on back-to-back reps. And I was like, I didn't realize this dude could rush the passer like that. And sure enough, you saw the sack on Russell Wilson, you know, in the Seahawks game. So he's a guy that at the back end of that rotation could definitely give you meaningful snaps. And Rashad Weaver, it's just the length that he brings. You know, that's the really positive part. And he's someone that you could bump inside and play, you know, like a three technique. If you want to do that, he could play five as well. So there's a lot of versatility there. We already know about the front end of that rotation and how dangerous that is. And you could add Nico Autry to that mix, right? So they have a really solid group of outside backers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a terrific, obviously two good starters, and especially Bud Dupree kind of, you know, has a different kind of season now that he's not coming off a rehab, but good depth. The two spots I wonder about the depth, well, I guess three, although even though with Buster Screen, TD, I still feel like their corner depth is okay. But inside linebacker and safety, what's your concern level on the depth at both spots? We know the starters are good, and who are you looking at right now early in camp to try to, you know, jump into those roles?
Well, when you look at inside linebacker, of course, Monty Rice is on PUP, and he's a guy that will, when he comes off, he'll assume that third part of the rotation. But I think Chance Campbell is someone to watch. And, of course, he has the crazy number, 45, but he's someone to watch. Just you look at what he did at Ole Miss, like 143 tackles or something like that. So he clearly knows how to find the football. He'll help on special teams as well. And then I think you also have to add in Dylan Cole, who's a guy that they've liked. And you got Joe Jones there. He's available, and he was on and off the roster. So I think the depth at inside linebacker is fine. Now, as for safety, you know, Dane Cruikshank is obviously gone. There's a new number 29, and that's Theo Jackson. And I think that he's going to fill that role pretty well. You know, a guy that played the star position at Tennessee. So we know that he could play in the box and just play wherever you want him to go. He has the length, too, so he could take that Dane Cruikshank role. And A.J. Moore is another one that will play a lot of special teams, but he gives you veteran depth there at the safety position. So I personally feel that they are okay. I think they're four deep, and, you know, Chris Jackson could bump over and play safety, and Elijah Molden could do that in a pinch as well. So I think the versatility in the DB group is definitely going to help them.
Teron Davenport on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, TD, sticking with safety, you know, obviously Kevin Byard generates a lot of the attention, but I thought Hooker really played well last year when he was in there alongside. What do you make of that duo and kind of where that duo fits in around the league?
Yeah, I think that duo has the potential to be right there with the Jordan Poyers and Micah Hydes, those type of groups. I think they could be, you know, right there. Hooker is a really good player. I love the way he plays in the box. He's a sound tackler. He can play deep if you want him to do that. He's a ball hawk, what, four interceptions last year. So he's someone that I think just complements Kevin Byard really well. And Byard, in my opinion, you know, he's right there, top safety in the league. And we don't really need to get into him. We know already what it is that he brings to the table. But Hooker, I think, you know, if he could continue to ascend, that'll make them the best tandem in the league.
So, TD, I've been cautious with Chigakonkwo just in terms of, you know, there's no question he's talented, but sometimes it takes some time, you know, for a rookie tight end. Early on, I get the impression that they really want to try to, you know, get him involved, and certainly it makes sense to try to get him the ball with a little bit of space, and, you know, he could be a problem for defenses. I know that you're bullish on Chig's potential here to help this offense. What are you seeing so far there? And also, in the tight end room, do you think there's a fourth kept? Who do you think it'll be?
Yeah, I think with Chig, the big thing is the red zone potential that he brings. He's a guy that you could literally move anywhere along the formation. You could put him in the backfield, slot, out wide, in line, any of those, and he'll make plays for you. So for me, that's what I watch. The Jonnu Smith comparison is obviously there from body type, but I think play style as well. So knowing what Tannehill was able to do with Jonnu Smith, and even with the tight ends in general. I mean, you look 2020, 8 touchdown passes to Jonnu Smith in the red zone. He had 8 to the tight end group as a whole last year. You know, we're talking about Mike Polkruer, Jeff Swaim, and Anthony Firkser. So, you know, it's not exactly the most intimidating group, but all of those guys, you know, brought something to the table and were able to make plays. And I think that's what Okonkwo could do for them in the red zone. And you got a snapshot of that in minicamp in those 2 days when he had the 4 touchdowns in low red zone, 7-on-7 period. So that's what he brings to the table for me. As far as 4 tight ends, Briley Moore is a guy that I know they liked last year before he got hurt. I'm not sure if they keep him as the 4th tight end. Honestly, you know, I think a guy like Torrey Carter gives him the advantage because he could fill 2 spots and that he could play some tight end. He's obviously a fullback, but that versatility, I think, could help them save a roster spot and maybe carry a 4th running back or something along those lines.
Did you get a little fired up seeing Ric Flair out there yesterday at Titans practice?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got fired up, man. It's crazy to think that at 73 years old, he's going to wrestle. But, hey, you know, sometimes you just manage to beat Father Time or hold him off in Ric Flair's case.
Yep, no question about that. Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. TD, great stuff as always, my man. Hope you have a great weekend and enjoy the training camp practices out there.
For sure. You guys take it easy. And, Joe, I'll see you in a little bit.
Sounds good. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Our coverage of Titans training camp presented by USA Hip Store and Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to TD for joining us in the last segment. Interested to get his thoughts through the first couple of days of Titans training camp. So, Joe, not a whole lot going on yesterday at Titans training camp. More of a, I guess, walkthrough day is maybe a way to describe it. A slower day at Titans training camp yesterday, and we'll see, you know, how they go about doing it from here. But
a terribly boring day.
Well, we'll put it that way. A terribly boring day yesterday at Titans training camp. So with that aside, the first two days, what are a few things that have stood out to you so far? And as we look ahead here, what intrigues you now that the pads are about to come on and training camp's about to get ramped up here in the next few days?
Well, this is when I start to look at offensive linemen, because you can watch drills and stuff like that if you want, but it really – and, you know, look, even in some of the team stuff, as I said yesterday, you know, Jeff Simmons in there, I mean, he's still – I mean, you know, they're still snapping the ball, and there's still some level of engagement in helmets and shorts, but, you know, it's not really blocking – or trying to shed blocks until pads are on. So now that begins. And, of course, you know, when you have 2 offensive line spots that are wide open, you know, then that's recipe for a lot of interesting drills that are important. Like TD said, like we said when we were talking to Ola early on last camp, the first takeaway is, ooh, Dylan Radins is not ready to play in the NFL. But also that was one of those, you know, it's kind of like – it's just like with anything. Oh, great play by Treylon Burks. Wait, what happened, Christian Fulton? You know, like someone gets victimized if someone makes a great play. But in this case, it was also a little glimpse at Ola and the fact that he could actually help what turned out to be a way improved pass rush, and definitely gave him some good depth last year. So there's the offensive line battles, but there's also the defensive line battles. You know, Laurel Murchison. You've got, you know, as Ben Arthur pointed out the other day, you know, Haskell Garrett, really big season last year for Ohio State, 6'2", 300, Let him in sacks. There's a guy. I mean, DeMarcus Walker certainly is a guy who, you know, has played in this league. Could factor in there. So the D-line competition. I mean, Deshaun Hand, you know, people remember him at Alabama. Guy who has played some good football. Jaden Peavy. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities on D-line. So that's where, not that it's like you shift totally away from the skill guys, but now you have a fuller picture of everything once the pads do go on. And so far, the big impressions, you know, it's the obvious stuff. Burks, Farley, to me, Fitzpatrick, definitely. And then Chig, as we talked about with TD, and obviously he is, and he makes a good point about as a chess piece, Chig in the red zone, you know, moving him around. If he, and that's the thing, when the pads go on, that's where I'm very interested. Chig Okonkwo, when he is blocking, because we haven't seen that at all. You don't see any of that in the spring at all. Can he hold up as an inline tight end and give them that versatility? Because to me, that even makes it more likely that this offense becomes more, returns to its two tight end roots this year.
Do you believe that Dylan Raidens and Aaron Brewer have a sizable lead at left guard and right tackle, respectively, in the competition? I know we've talked about those two guys. We've talked about Jamarco Jones. We've talked about Nicholas Petit-Frere. That sort of rotation of what's going on out there and what that position battle looks like. Do you believe that those are the clear front runners for the job right now with Aaron Brewer and Dylan Raidens?
It's a great question, and I not sure. I don't have a great answer. I would say that with Vrabel, as we talk about at times, you know, you got to pay attention to what he says sometimes, and he can give hints because he definitely, I mean, he has said, like, yeah, these are competitions. But this is what he said about Aaron Brewer yesterday. Quote, he's explosive, he's quick, he's tougher than a $2 steak. He understands the angles and trying to get the guys, understands pad-level technique. Those are a lot of things he can do that somebody that's bigger can't, just the way he moves. I just like the way he competes. I like the way he shows up to work every day and is willing to compete, end quote. I put some stock in that quote for sure. You know, Vrabel, not that all coaches don't, but Vrabel really values approach, right, and intensity and desire and all those things. And it is a big difference going from massive Roger Saffold to, you know, relatively speaking, you know, smallish for the, you know, for a smallish for a pro offensive lineman, Aaron Brewer. You know, I mean, he's 6'1", 274. I mean, you look at, you go across that line, all the other guys, and, you know, basically everybody's 300. 6'1", 274. Roger Saffold, I don't have it in front of me. What's Roger Saffold? 6'4", 330? 6'4", 320?
He's probably in that neighborhood, yeah.
I mean, it's seriously, it's like, I mean, I guess it's like whenever, you know, like in 1992, when the Lakers went from 6'9 point guard Magic Johnson to whoever their then 6'1 point guard was, you know, I mean, and I'm not comparing Roger Saffold to Magic Johnson, my gosh.
By the way, 6'5", 316.
Okay. 6'5",
324, excuse me. That was the latest measurement.
Okay, so 50 pounds and 4 inches. It's like completely different kind of player in there at left guard. But those comments by Vrabel, I put some stock into those. So I'm very interested to see if Jamarco Jones can push him. I would have expected going into camp that it's very up in the air there. On the other side, I'm just keeping an open mind. I think it interesting comment, right, from Ola about the offseason award winners. And
yeah,
basically, like, you know, Vrabel would not just give out those awards if they didn't earn it. You know? And I tend to agree with that. It is interesting that a couple of guys, they really, really need to step up, won those. But that could also speak to them knowing that they have to, right?
Right.
Seems like Dylan Raidens has done everything right. Maybe he hasn't said everything right. Maybe I'll tell you if it's a competition, if he's like, "Arr, these lines of scrimmage is mine, matey." You know, if he does that, then then we'll know that Dylan Radins is ready to go. But
the more we can get you talking in a pirate voice, yeah, the better off we're going to be.
These trenches be my territory, Mr. Kuharski. I just went. Yeah, Michelle's going to be like, yeah.
Yeah, that was really scary,
that
was actually.
That drifted into something non-pirate. Sorry. But I'm not convinced that Dylan Radins is just going to lock down this position. Nicholas Petitfrere he's got all the measurables, you know, that you want in an NFL offensive tackle. So I think at some point he's going to be knocking on the door. Now, is that going to happen this month? I don't know. I think it'd be great. Well, it'd be great for the Titans if he makes that push. Maybe it would be better for them if Dylan Radins does lock down that spot and say, this is my job. I think Nicholas Petitfrere, if he develops, if everything works out, and you know, there's a lot to find out yet, at some point, looks like a guy who can be a real factor at offensive tackle, one side or the other, for the Titans. I think in both cases, I've talked a lot to get to what could have been a very simple answer. I don't know, but I think it's really going to be interesting, and I'm keeping an open mind at both spots.
Well, do you think depth-wise, because going back to your brilliant 53-man roster that Chase Willie and D-Mace were talking about yesterday, like they were worried about you not having enough on the offensive line. And I guess my response to that is, you know, eight could be a little light, but it's not like you don't feel good about the players we're talking about being NFL players. The question is not, are they going to make the roster? The question is, are they good enough to start? Like, that's, to me, two different conversations.
Yeah, and look, I may be wrong. I mean, I may be wrong on eight. You know, I took away from there with, you know, like seven at receiver, which I could certainly be wrong on that too. Part of that is McMath, and a question with McMath is, like, really, how valued is he as a special teams guy? But the thing about the eight is there are some guys who, like, well, Jamarco Jones, for example. I don't know how good he is. I don't know if he's going to push for a starting job. You're right, that's the key question. What I do know is that he has played outside and inside in this league, and when you have guys like that who you feel like you could plug, you know, inside and outside, then that helps you keep fewer guys. So, so that he could then count as your fourth tackle, you know,
right,
if you went that route. But, yeah, there's seven guys I think we know are going to make the team, and then a few guys fighting for one or two spots.
Coming up next, we'll get back to my favorite NFL story of all time, which took a new twist again last night. Really looking forward to this. Really talking about this every day for the rest of however long our show will be on the air. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. That Call Your Shot Friday coming up at 8:45. We'll take your called shots on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe Rex Road, what has quickly become my favorite NFL story of all time, took a new turn last night. So, we've talked about this week. The independent study clause in Kyler Murray's contract, requiring to have at least 4 hours of study per game week. We've had a lot of fun with that this week. What does that mean? Does that mean that he's not watching film? Is he too busy playing video games? Does he love Call of Duty? Why does Kyler Murray have this in his contract? And apparently this has really bothered Kyler Murray, the reaction to it, to the point where he had a press conference yesterday and talked about it being disrespectful and almost a joke, the reaction to the independent study clause in his contract. He was asked if he was mad at Arizona about it, to which he replied, no comment. So that probably tells you everything you need to know there. And then late last night, Ian Rappaport putting it out that the Cardinals have removed the controversial independent study clause from Kyler Murray's $230 million and a half contract that happened yesterday. So this whole saga this week, it begins with somebody leaking this out there to begin with. I don't know who that was, but I would really like to know who that was, that the independent study contract clause in the contract was out there, and now the Cardinals have backed away from it. Joe, your reaction to this, and look, the Cardinals can do whatever they want, but this is never going away from me. I will always talk about it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I'm still obsessed with, like, who made this decision. Like, anything like contract leaks or whatever, I typically go to the agent. But like, if his agent leaked this, man, is he dumb. He should fire his agent. Because even though I think it, like, you could argue that it looks worse for the Cardinals. And by the way, I feel like there's got to be, I'd like to hear more from them on this. Because the question is, why do you feel it necessary? I mean, Cliff Kingsbury was asked about this, and he, you know, of course, you know, he thinks Murray's studying enough, but the clause is in because, you know, he got $250 million. Okay, but still, like, where does that come from? Like, you know, it must be tied to concerns that he doesn't study enough, and just the whole thing. The fact that you, the question is, so why would you give that much money to someone? And again, the distracted by TV, internet, or video games part of this is just amazing. It really is
awesome.
It's like all of a sudden he's 12. So not that you have to be 12 to be distracted by those things.
No.
I guess maybe it's a sign of the times, but you know, Murray defended himself and said, you know, it's disrespectful. I mean, his anger should be with the team. Like, the first time he saw or heard that, I'd love to know the reaction to that.
Yeah.
I mean, he signed the contract, and yes, we'd all sign the contract that paid us that much money, you know, to play quarterback, to do anything. But when he saw that, what, I'd love to see the conversation. Like, was it like,
right,
are you
kidding
me? Threw
his Xbox controller down and he had to go cancel his PlayStation Plus in there. Like, well, not going to have time to do this anymore. Got to go watch some film.
He's still, he was angry. He's still looking at the phone, but angry, you know,
yeah,
yelling across the table while facing phone.
Here was the statement the Cardinals put out last night. Quote, after seeing the distraction it created, we removed the addendum from the contract. It was clearly perceived in ways that were never intended. Our confidence in Kyler Murray is as high as it's ever been, and nothing demonstrates our belief in his ability to lead this team more than the commitment reflected in this contract, which is hilarious because the contract initially included that independent study clause. So good stuff from the Cardinals last night.
I mean, this is the time, Kyler, to take all your Cardinal stuff off your Insta account. You know,
yes,
go do that again. That'd be amazing.
Well, I've lost respect for the Cardinals in this process. So what if there's been public backlash for it? If you believe, and clearly they did, if you believe that this was important enough to include in the contract and he eventually signed the contract, why are you backing away from it now? Like, if you feel like, obviously, despite, I don't care what they say now, they have seen something that has made them do this, whether that's not enough film study or just not confident that he puts in the amount of work. And I heard Pat McAfee talking about this the other day, like, and AJ Hawk, have there been games where he's been fooled by the same look like three or four times, which can't happen if you're a quarterback in the NFL. Like, they have seen something that has required them to put this thing in there. Just own it. Stick in there. Who cares what the reaction is? Like, if you were obviously not comfortable enough to not put it in there to begin with, and now just because there's been poor reaction to it, you're going to take it out? I've lost respect for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, they've done nothing to really address the issue, which is that we're all going to talk about this forever. Actually, what I want Kyler Murray to do now is to basically just completely tank as a player. Get his guaranteed money, do no study because it's not in the contract anymore. Don't take part in meetings. Don't sit there with your phone in your face. Stink. Get your money and then just go play baseball. Be a great baseball player. That's what I want now. Be an incredible movie.
It would be an incredible movie for sure.
Get Kingsbury fired, Steve Kiefer, get all those guys fired, and then just go play baseball.
It would be pretty unbelievable. DJ Burnside on Twitter has tweeted a photo. Is that Murray's agent? Is that Eric Burkhart and Murray? And he's attached like a Nintendo Switch to him just as he's signing the contract. It's beautiful stuff. Like, I cannot wait until the Cardinals are here for these joint practices, because the only thing I'm going to talk about is Kyler Murray over on the sideline playing Tetris or playing, you know, Call of Duty. I can't wait.
Oh, man.
Film studies for losers. Kyler Murray doesn't need it.
That's right. Yeah, it's going to be fodder forever, which, taken out of the contract, does nothing to change. But like you said, it makes them look – the whole thing makes them just focus on the Cardinals. Look, absolutely. I mean, this is Detroit Lions level stuff, you know?
It is.
Now, I have to think it wasn't their decision for this to be public. But either way, just having it in there and then all this backlash, taking it out, giving that money to someone that you don't think does 4 hours on their own. And again, like Kyler Murray.
In a week.
Yeah, in a week. And Kyler Murray's reaction is like what most people would say. It's like it's almost a joke. Of course he watches that much. That's a given. How could you possibly? I mean, I would think that too. I would agree. How could you possibly in this sport, which is such a film study, committee meeting, break down every nuance of every player going into a week sport? How could you not do that as a quarterback?
Well, that's fine, but he also told the New York Times last year that he doesn't have to watch film all that much because he could see everything happening right before it happened. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't know what to believe with Kyler Murray.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, he did have those. But even with those comments, like, so he doesn't spend 27 hours. He only spends, like, 15. Like, I don't know. It's bizarre. It's hilarious.
By the way, a story that we've not gotten to yet today, DK Metcalf, signing a 3-year, $72 million extension with Seattle yesterday, including a $30 million signing bonus. So that is an NFL record for a wide receiver for a signing bonus. So Seattle gets their man. DK Metcalf was at training camp, but kind of sitting out at training camp. And now they've got their deal done with DK Metcalf. So 3 years, $72 million, the extension for Seattle, who I hope DK Metcalf has fun in Seattle with either Geno Smith and or Drew Lock throwing him the ball next year.
Page and Jimmy G. Yeah. It's a deal that lets him, I like the deal from his perspective, get out there at 27, keep progressing as a player, and just imagine what he's going to be able to do at age 27 if he stays healthy and continues to produce. Got a chance at another big swing as a, you know, the NFL revenue is going to continue to advance at a very nice rate. And, so he's gonna have a bigger deal, I think, in 3 years.
I think there's a good chance that could happen, unless Drew Lock is his quarterback the whole time and they can't complete a forward pass.
Well, that would be a problem. Although I'm sure there's examples of great receivers. Well, Nash, I was gonna say, you know, the Lions, you know, with Calvin Johnson, but he had a good quarterback, so. But there's examples of great players who have bad quarterback situations who we still know are great players, right?
Yes, for sure.
Give me the best one.
The best example of a great player with a bad quarterback?
Like a great receiver who is limited by his quarterback, but it's still obvious he's a great receiver.
I think Andre Johnson would probably be a good example for a long time down in Houston.
That's a great call. It was a revolving door of so-so, probably on average, maybe quarterbacks, and he was elite. That's a great one.
Thank you. Good job.
I thought we'd have to go to the text line, but you just came through. And by the way, since we're talking about film study, and we need to at some point run the audio clip of the text you sent Michelle and me on Brett Favre. Freaking idiot, Brett Favre.
We'd have to bleep out the end of it, but yeah. I told you yesterday, Brett Favre didn't know what a nickel defense was until his second year in the league. I wasn't kidding.
Absolutely incredible. You know, Aaron Rodgers, polarizing player. He's a little arrogant and all that. You know, he can be a little bit unlikable. He is Santa Claus to me compared to Brett Favre.
I will not speak ill of either Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. That is my charge.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good quarterback back-to-back for one pretty, franchise.
Pretty good.
Even if one of them doesn't know what a fifth defensive back is.
He figured it out as his career went along. Coming up next, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday. We'll take your bold predictions in the world of sports. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. NFL training camps are underway, so you can take a football called shot, college football on the table, MLS on the table, any way you want to go with it, it's available on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 1025. We did not have Call Your Shot Friday last week. So, Michelle Knezvik, would you like to kick us off this week with today's edition of Call Your Shot Friday?
Well, actually, I need to interrupt real quick because I just realized I haven't done Call Your Shot since June 24th with vacations and stuff like that.
That's more than a month ago.
Yes. So, first of all, like, did we ever review the June 24th call?
I don't know if we did or not.
Well, for anything spicy in there?
Well, let me go through it real quick. I said I will watch at least 15 Detroit Pistons games next season, which is my total for the past 7 years. We'll see. Jabari Smith, better NBA career than Paolo Banchero and Chet Holmgren. We'll see. Baker Mayfield in Seattle will win more games than Russell Wilson will win in Denver. That was a shot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tampa Bay will win the next two games, lose game seven to the ass. Robbie Julio signs with the Colts. Game-winning goal by Victor Hedman tonight. That didn't happen. Poyle will make a draft day trade for a top six forward. Michelle had Jeff Simmons will sign his big deal before camp starts. She had Forsberg will sign with the Preds on July 12th.
No, it was the 14th.
Before that.
Before that.
Yeah,
okay.
It was like the 6th, 5th maybe. But, yeah, you know, within a week. Ole Miss will win the College World Series. Lane Kiffin will run the bases. And Stamkos hat trick, but the Avs win the Stanley Cup. So, basically, as usual, as it should be, really, right? We didn't get many of them. But, anyway, it's kind of fun to look back. And now I guess this is kind of like starting the new – we're about to get back into pigskin picks and stuff like that. So yeah, it's a new era. It's a new season, kind of. How about that?
New season of Call Your Shot Friday. So with that in mind, Michelle, go ahead and kick us off.
Okay. Kevin Durant signs with the Celtics. That's my first one.
So he's traded to the Celtics.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you have a return on this?
I do not have a return on this.
What's that?
No.
Because Jaylen Brown is the one they've been talking about who doesn't seem happy about it.
Yeah, and Jason Tatum didn't really seem – he was kind of, like, indifferent.
If I was the Celtics, I'd probably just leave it alone, but that's just me.
Yeah, right? You made it to the NBA Finals without him. But that's a side note. The Big Ten will announce that they are adding three more schools to their conference before week one.
Mm. Ooh, that's a shot.
I like that.
Jimmy Garoppolo will not be on a team week one.
Ooh. Oh, so not on a new team.
Correct.
Well, that's an interesting question.
Well, no, not on a team at all. Not on a team at all. I think that the Niners will cut him, and then he will be essentially just there, and nobody will sign him before week one.
Okay.
That's a shot. Jeff Simmons, we're going to switch that old shot, will sign his new contract before August 13th.
Wow, That's a specific date, August 13th.
And those are all my called shots.
Okay, there we go. So August 14th comes around. No can do for Jeffrey
Stone. 2 weeks away, about.
I like it. Joe Rexroad, your called shots of the week.
I don't know if this is a shot. This is kind of – it's a weak one. But I want to be right about something. Notre Dame will not be part of a conference in the new structure. And before long, we will get word of a new 12-team playoff. So okay. Notre Dame's going to stay independent. They're going to get a nice deal. 12-team playoff is back on the fast track, and I think we're going to hear about that soon. Obviously, I think it'd be 25 when it would start, but yes. On the Jimmy G front, Jimmy G will be cut by the San Francisco 49ers. They will cut him. They will not find a trade. There won't be much coming back anyway. And then the New York Giants will sign him.
Ooh, the Giants.
Giants will sign Jimmy G as Daniel Jones enters make or break, and let's face it, probably
East Rutherford, New Jersey, baby.
Yes, probably a break season. But then as I say that, now you can basically count on Daniel Jones throwing for 350 and three touchdowns in the opener in Nashville.
Yeah. Can he throw for 350? Can he get over 2?
Well, hey, I mean, you know, I didn't think Chandler Jones could get 11 sacks in one game, but he did last year. So
that is true.
And finally, the Tennessee Titans, I'm going to go all the way to the season opener. Treylon Burks will have a touchdown of 50-plus yards in the season opener. So I'm going to go ahead and rip everybody for overreacting to one good day of practice and just throw my hat in the ring. Treylon Burks is going to have a 50-plus yard catch and run for a touchdown, much like A.J. Brown did in his professional debut at Cleveland.
Oh, yes. Keep the A.J. Treylon Burks comparisons coming. I like it. All right. Is that it for you?
That's it.
Okay. My called shots. I'll roll through these. Derrick Henry will win the rushing title again this year. Derrick Henry will win the NFL rushing title once again this season, and he will have more than 1,700 yards whilst doing so. So that goes back to the choice is yours question I threw out there the other day. He's going to have more than 1,700 yards.
That's a number.
Treylon Burks will lead the Titans in receiving touchdowns this year. He will lead the Titans in receiving touchdowns this year. Notice I did not say receptions or yards. I said receiving touchdowns.
I mean, this is awesome. We've become everything we make fun of.
Treylon Burks fanboys here on the program. The Patriots will go 7-10 this year and miss the playoffs. 7-10
spicy
for Bill Belichick and the Patriots this year, and they will miss the playoffs. Write it down.
That is spicy.
Nashville SC will win 3-1 against Vancouver this weekend. So a big W forthcoming for Nashville SC, 3-1 at home against Vancouver. And finally, my final called shot of the week, Aaron Rodgers will three-peat as MVP of the National Football League. Three-peat for Aaron Rodgers. His third consecutive MVP will be won this year.
Can you imagine if he three-peats and then has a third straight playoff?
Just only one Super Bowl?
Just unbelievable disrespect that comes out of the two of you's mouth.
I'm just saying, like, what, you know, it'd be pretty wild. Like I'd love to know how many times that would have happened. Now,
with his receiving core, he probably shouldn't get to the playoffs, but they're going to win the division because they're better.
You mean
repeat MVP?
Moving on from that Hall of Fame receiving core to another Hall of Fame receiving core.
They do have Alan Lazard coming back in there.
I will say that is a heck of a shot because, although the receiving core actually helps him, like if they have a good year, he has a good year, the numbers are there with those receivers. Yeah. But, you know, when anybody wins a couple and there's a lot of other good options out there, there's going to be some fatigue from voters with him. And then, of course, Hub.
Well, get Hub Garkish out of the freaking voting process, for God's sake.
It's okay. He'll win it anyway.
When are we going to have Hub on, by the way? Does Porth let him speak publicly?
I don't know.
We should ask.
Good question. Ron on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Jimmy G will be the Browns starting quarterback before the season is over. save the shot.
Okay.
Also, that's a good one.
I like that one.
Also says Kevin Byard will have 7 interceptions this year and go to the Pro Bowl. 7 picks.
That's a big
Kevin
number.
Byard.
That's a big number.
7's a big number. Justin in Hermitage texting in says, my shot is the season opener. Austin Hooper will go for 9 catches, 102 yards, and 2 touchdowns. 9 catches, 102, and 2 touchdowns. What do you think of that one?
That'd be a big day. I'd qualify that as a shot. Those are big numbers.
If you got him doing that, and you've got Treylon Burks busting off 50-yarder like you said he was going to, it'd be a pretty good day for the Titans.
Yeah, our combined shots have Ryan Tannehill throwing for 487 in the opener. So, Derrick Henry's going to run for about 200 per year shot. So, my gosh, what is the final score going to be?
And apparently
amazing.
Jimmy G's going to be on the other side.
Well, it is the Giants.
Yes. That's right, yeah. Watch out,
be quite the day.
He still may outscore them just with his skills.
Yeah, just a lot of skills that he brings to the table. This has been Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every Friday morning at 8:45. We are your racing station. 102.5, 106.3 The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 12:30 for the Verizon 200. You can also join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for racing weekend. NASCAR on 102.5, 106.3 The Game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on that front as well. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.